All right, Three Amigos in a Podcast. We're episode four.
Episode four.
Running in nicely.
1 month. The best Star Wars episode four.
Today on the podcast, we get our first guest speaker. We got Pops with us. He's going to tell us a little story about what happened this weekend, or last weekend, last Friday morning.
Ah, yeah, Friday morning.
Tell us what happened. What is this?
Well, I woke up to somebody breaking into the neighbor's car. My wife, Julie, yelling, you know, oh my God, there's somebody breaking into Nigel's car. So, I ran and got my bat and ran out there. And as soon as I ran out, the motion detector light came on. So, I'm looking at the burglar and he's looking at me. We kind of made eye contact and I can see him mouthing like, no.
Yeah.
So as I was running to him, he opened the door and he jumped out.
And then allegedly.
And he's like, no, no, no. But at that point, it was like, you know, swinging the bat. You know, I hit him, and he went flying, and it was like whack-a-mole. You just hit him, and he went rolling around. So, all his screwdrivers, wrenches went flying.
There's video of this, allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, in the video, you know, you see Raw make a beeline for him. There's words that were exchanged. But what was your... I mean, were you trying to like detain him? Were you trying to like get him on the ground?
Or what was your thought process?
Did he look at you? Was he going to strike you down or?
No, I mean, it just happened so quick. Like, you know, I didn't even know how many times I hit him with the bat. But Julie's like, man, you hit him like 8 times. And I thought I only hit him a few times.
Allegedly
struck him. Yeah. You know, it could have been like swing and miss, but. Man, a couple times I was swinging for the fence.
Well, this happened to.
So you look like a typical Padre hitter.
Well, this happened allegedly happened around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, right? So yeah, you were just getting up. It's kind of like that was like the rooster crow, and you just came bowling out of there.
Yeah.
That was all about his hit training in the morning.
trainer joke.
That was on autopilot.
Well, we all know your neighbor Nigel appreciates that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. That's like Neighbor of the Year award going right there.
There was suspicion that he stole multiple vehicles too, right?
Yeah, that was his third vehicle that morning. If I would have known that, then yeah, there would have been bloodshed at that point.
But, yeah,
you know, I was a nice guy about it. You know, I just hit him in the back and in the legs, but
allegedly
hit him in the back.
Man, that's a crazy story. Well, that was our first guest, Pops. Thanks for coming on.
All right, gentlemen.
That was fun.
Carry on.
We'll have you back.
Hopefully not for the same thing.
No. Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. First talking point. I mean, this week is just so full of news. Where are we even going to start, you know?
Well, LeBron. We can start with 4th of July. Why not? We can ease into basketball a little bit.
4th of July. I didn't really do anything. It was Sarah's mom's birthday. So we just kind of, you know, lay low every year. Went and saw Ocean's 8. Better than I thought. You know, it was. That's nice. All I want to say on that.
Very nice.
Yeah. That was your idea.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. That was my idea.
The Joey Chestnut eating the 74 hot dogs. Do you guys ever watch that?
Oh, it's disgusting.
I do. It is disgusting. It's
the nastiest thing I've ever seen.
How many hot dogs do you think you could eat in reality?
One.
No, forcing yourself.
Like, yeah,
dude, there's no
competition.
They dip them in water, and it's disgusting.
So put it out there. You did it one time,
no,
right?
No, so I'll tell you this story. Me and DJ, our buddy DJ, we went to the all-you-can-eat seats at Petco Park, and we both had to remind, like, you know what, these guys are eating like 60 hot dogs, something like that, you know, at the time, because now they're up to 74 hot dogs, which is like insane.
Unreal. Disgusting.
But we're like, we should be able to hit 10. And I started, I probably got up to like 4 or 5, and I'm like, dude, no more. That's not even possible. My buddy DJ kept going. He went up to 10, and he was just yakking in the bathroom.
That's
after
disgusting.
That.
Disgusting.
I mean,
he's pouring it with water just like in the thing to get it to go slide down the colon.
Oh my
better.
Gosh. That's horrible.
Yeah, we're going to have him on.
Oh, my God.
That's unbelievable.
He's going to tell the story from his perspective.
I mean, I understand that it's kind of a 4th of July thing.
Like a tradition.
I mean, I don't
yeah.
remember how many years it's been going for. Don't fact check me on that. But they shove their hot dogs in water, and they practically swallow them. And then
he's doing 3 at a time, and he jumps up and down trying to get gravity to force it down.
And have you seen the list of, like, records that the man holds? It's he pretty much owns every world record for like most
competitive eating.
Yeah, most competitive eating.
They did a thing. It was the dynasties. He's got 11 titles. That's insane. He's been doing this for years. It used to be Kobayashi.
And he's not a
Kobayashi was the guy, and now it's Joey Chestnut. Yeah, it's Kobayashi, the two of them.
Man.
That's insane.
That's, yeah.
It's a dynasty. It's a dynasty run.
Oh, yeah. Other news on the podcast. We're on Podomatic now. That's our new hosting site. So
awesome.
We can go from there. And check then we got a Twitter site, Twitter account nice. Launched.
All right.
So
Twitter handle?
The number 3amigos_and_pod. That's where you can follow us at and post juicy content.
So we got a huge week in sports this past week. Why don't you lead us into that, Mr.
Yeah, Ratton? That was crazy. My Lakers signed the King. That was pretty. That was good news. What was I doing? I was at work, and then you called me, and you're like, "Hey, my sources just told me that LeBron decided to sign with the Lakers." I was like, whoa, that is amazing news. And then I had to get on my phone. I was checking everything. But they made a lot of moves this week.
They did.
They made, you know,
Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee. Stevenson, JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee, not JaVale.
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron James is, you know, looking for a new scenery. I don't think this is a win-a-championship-now move. I think this is a... He's there for the long haul. With signing the 4-year deal, I mean.
I think the same thing, and especially because he's an older player now. He's, what, 34?
33, going to be 34.
30. So you look at, you know, these great players that have long careers, and as they get into their later years, they switch from that point guard running gun position to more of like a, you know, post up, kind of on the block player. Not a lot of impact, and I think he fits that role perfectly.
Absolutely.
And surrounding himself with young guys, with, you know, veteran leadership at the point guard, I think that he can kind of transition that team to be a championship-winning team.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Eventually, yeah. I definitely don't think in
the I think you kind of got the vibe last year when he checked out Lonzo Ball at the Summer League last year. Why is LeBron James spending his free time scouting – Lonzo Ball last year.
Yeah, from a team that's not in the conference.
And then I think a lot of it is his focus has shifted more towards his family, which is, I think, very important to him now. His focus is less on, you know, winning as many championships as possible. It's more towards, you know,
the longevity of his career.
Being able to have a great place to raise his kids and everything.
And he's a businessman, and this is a smart business move. I mean,
he's like Magic Johnson, basically. Yeah.
He's his value is going to be more in Los Angeles than it is going to be in Cleveland.
Pre-sale jerseys alone have broke the record. They're like 400% higher than any other jersey.
No, it's the biggest free agent transaction in the history of sports, in my opinion. I mean, a player that's as well known as LeBron James worldwide,
exactly.
But I think what he was doing in Cleveland and how he willed that team into a championship, his job was to not just facilitate the offense, but to run and gun the entire thing. Like, he was driving to the hole.
Yeah.
And that takes so much off
of
your career.
It takes a toll on your body, yeah.
And I think going there with people like Lonzo Ball, who's a great facilitator, and Rajon Rondo, who averages more assists than points that he scores. It's going to take a lot of pressure off him to be able to, or to have to do everything.
Well, I think even in like our, you know, in our private conversations, we've talked about what LeBron needs to extend his career. He doesn't need to be that main guy. He needs to be that secondary player, the guy that can get subbed out, doesn't need to play, you know, all the minutes in the game that he needs to, you know. It's like he can rely on his other teammates. And,
I think if that's the case, then he can play for, you know, 6 or 7 more years healthy. And I mean,
and not only that, but he's a great player coach. He's a great player coach.
Absolutely.
You know, you have another guy like that on the floor.
And he makes players around him better. I know people have argued that he doesn't, but I mean, there's players out there that you wouldn't even know of. I mean, Norris Cole with the Miami Heat, Mario Chalmers with the Miami Heat. Those are players that he made better. With the Cavaliers, obviously, you're not going to make a J.R. Smith better because he's just an idiot. But with people like Lonzo Ball who are young, with people like Brandon Ingram, they're going to benefit so much off of taking the pressure off of them to win now. Now you're looking at a team that's going to compete for a playoff position. I mean, I predict that the team will make the playoffs. I don't foresee them being a top 2 seed.
Yeah.
But
I don't see him going super deep, but I could see them contending.
And you just don't see LeBron missing the playoffs. No, it's so hard to...
Yeah, it's hard to envision that.
Even though the West is very
move.
Stacked. It is. But I see a couple teams taking a step back. I think the Pelicans might take a step back.
Yeah. Who knows with Houston? I mean, they still have their big
Rondo
two.
Meant a lot to the Pelicans.
He really did.
He made that engine run. Yeah. So I think they're going to miss it. They did get Julius Randle, which is nice. Consolation prize. I don't know who they're going to run at the point, though. They picked up Elfrid Payton, and I guess he's going to be running their point, or they're going to move Drew Holiday back to the point. So I don't know what they're going to do.
It's interesting because it's a new look, and for a team that snuck into the playoffs for the past couple years, you feel like with the Lakers coming in, they're going to be taking a step back. But, you know, with LeBron going to Los Angeles, you have to think that it's going to help his legacy so much more. He's going to have, I mean, instead of meeting the Golden State Warriors in the finals like he has the past 4 years, instead of going not just to the same conference, but to the same division where he's going to be playing them 4 times a year, I mean, he's going head on after the Warriors.
Yeah, and his you know, what do you call it, like ML, or his NBA IQ is through the roof. So playing a team that many times, seeing what they got, he's definitely going to be able to adjust his game.
Absolutely. And I just think that for him, I mean, he has an opportunity now to be one of the two players in the NBA to win an MVP on 3 different teams.
That'll be crazy.
I think that, you know, like we said, it's not a win now team, which is nice because it takes the pressure off of him. But it definitely brings the Showtime Lakers back, no matter what. I mean, you're looking at some of these players can develop into stars. You might be able to see what the best Lonzo Ball that we've seen.
Exactly, yeah.
And that'll kind of, you know, transition us into the next point. What's the next step? You know, do you guys think that they're going to go after Kawhi Leonard or a Damian Lillard or a John Wall?
I think that Damian Lillard, you know, his tweet of just saying, like, I wouldn't be mad at signing, you know, with the Lakers. I think that was a huge kind of cue of like, hey, you guys, I'd be up to offers, and I think he'd be a great ad.
I think the problem with that is he's locked up for 3 years, and I don't think Portland wants to give him to a team that's going to be beating them out for playoff positions. I think with Kawhi Leonard, though, at this point, I would be in no rush to trade my assets that I have right now. From what it seems that they're wanting in the offer, it sounds like they want Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, and draft picks. And that seems like a hefty load for a young team the reason that the Lakers are in this situation where they were able to, you know, sign LeBron James was because they have young talent. And if you start dishing away all that young talent for Kawhi Leonard, who you don't know is going to come back 100% healthy, I don't see a huge need with him coming back into free agency next year to dish away, you know, 5 major assets of your team.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think it's kind of interesting because it's almost like the Spurs are overplaying their hand.
Yeah, I don't think they have a hand.
It's one of those things where it's like you wait one more year, he's walking, and you get nothing. So.
I
mean,
I think what they're doing, though, is you ask for the moon and you get a little less. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to squeeze as much out of this as they possibly can.
And they don't want to deal with the Lakers. They have all offseason, though. Yeah.
They have all offseason to get this figured out.
They have till the trade deadline. I mean, so, in reality, I foresee Kawhi Leonard holding out, though, until, you know, he gets traded. I don't see him suiting up for the Spurs this year.
You don't? No. I think that's just such a bad look for Kawhi that he has to do it.
I think that, honestly, that the way that he was treated, and I know people have kind of downplayed this aspect of it, but when you have people like Tony Parker on that team that are disrespecting the franchise player publicly, it sets a bad standard for the rest of the organization that nobody came out and backed Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he's got his doctors and his trainers and his people telling him, look, you don't need to be playing right now. You're not 100%. If you go back out there, you're not going to be as good. You're not going to be as healthy. And chances are you're going to end back up right where you were.
And I think, like, to that point, I also feel like that's why Kyrie Irving is so upset with the Cavaliers, is because they made him play with those bad knees. And now he has 2 screws in his knee, you know, can't really, you know, his lateral movement isn't as high. You know, that would, as a player, that would upset me because that's money that you're taking from me.
No, and that's totally valid, I think. However, why isn't Kawhi coming out and saying this? I think that's the biggest question. Why can't you just come out and say, you know what, the reason why I'm not playing is my quad isn't feeling good. It doesn't feel 100%. All he has to do is say that, and everyone backs off. But what you do is he disappears, and he leaves his team high and dry during the playoffs. You're their best player. You have to be there to support them at the very least. So, I mean, Kawhi's San Diego, man. He's like one of my favorite players. So for me to have to say that, that's kind of like I question his character now, you know.
No, I think it's valid. I mean, it is a team sport, and you're supposed to have your guys there for you. But at the same time, it's a business.
And it's hard because we see it, we don't see it as like a – we see it from the business standpoint of it's a team and a player, not from the business aspect of this player's body is their
career. Absolutely.
That's their money maker.
That's the difference between getting the shoe endorsement and not getting the shoe endorsement.
Exactly.
You have to be the guy.
Yeah.
And if he's not coming back, if he's not healthy, you know, he's not going to be the same player that he used to be.
I wanted to kind of ask you guys about how we talked about how the West is going to be so loaded with all these teams now. Do you think that the NBA should do a reseeding? Because it's basically going to be a toss-up between the Celtics or the 76ers coming out of the East.
I've always thought that they need to reseed. I don't like the East and West format for any sport. I think that the West Coast is the best coast, and why wouldn't people want to come play here? Besides teams like Miami and Boston and New York that have a history, obviously Detroit does as well, but they haven't been there for several years. There needs to be a reseeding. I don't foresee it happening in the near future, but the problem that you're going to see now is some of these teams that we've discussed last year, with the Miami Heat being as bad as they were compared to your Clippers, still being 7 seed in the East, it's not going to be fun to watch. And I think that, you know, thankfully the process has worked with Philadelphia. You've seen, though, in free agency, they've still not been able to make a big splash with, you know, big-name free agents. You know, Paul George re-signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder, not going after DeMarcus Cousins, not being able to sign LeBron James. Besides that, it's been a slower year in free agency. A lot of these guys are restricted. And, you know, you look at a player like Clint Capella coming out of Houston, not getting the offer that he wants. There's not going to be a team out there that's going to sign him. The only team with cap space would potentially be the Suns, who have made it a priority to sign DeAndre Ayton as their number one overall pick. So
he's going back to Houston. They already said it's a priority.
No, absolutely. Yeah. They just know they have
and
all the leverage.
They have his rights, too, so they can re-sign him. They can match whatever. He's a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
so.
And that's what I mean. Like they have the leverage there.
But that team's – I think we saw the best of them last year. They already lost Trevor Ariza, free agency.
Yep.
I mean, I can go on and on. There's a bunch of veteran guys that are leaving that team on these contracts, and they're stuck with some
who are
of the,
huge bench players for that team.
I mean, one of the guys who I loved when he played for the Clippers is Luke Bamute, and he was solid off the bench for him. 3-and-D, your prototypical 3-and-D guy.
Absolutely.
And he actually was playing really good until he had his injury at the end of the year, which, you know, typical Clippers. But
yeah.
Well, speaking of your
it
Clippers,
runs deep in his blood.
Speaking of your Clippers, how excited are you with that sign?
With the Mike Scott.
The Michael Scott.
Yeah, Michael Scott.
I don't
Scott.
Think you'll ever hear him talked about on any other podcast, by the way. Michael Scott is not a huge name free agent. He's a solid player.
Solid player, but I mean,
he's Brandon's guy now.
When you get the regional manager of Dunder Mifflin on your team,
We know he had an off day the day everybody was scouting him in the warehouse at Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think the Clippers should have gone with the sharp shooting Kevin Malone out of the warehouse, have him come off the bench.
You weren't thinking of that point guard Stanley Hudson dribbling that ball up?
No, the way the Clippers are constructed right now, I mean, it's a totally different construction than what they've gone with in the past. So most of the scoring is going to come from their front court, and their back court is in my opinion, top defensively in the NBA. They have two first-team All-NBA defensive players, or former, with Patrick Beverly and Avery Bradley. And then they have a total. Right now, we have 9 guards on our roster, and there's and right now they gotta cut it down somehow. And we're trying to re-sign Montrezl Harrell, who's a restricted free agent, was third last year in NBA field goal percentage, to Clint Capella and DeAndre Jordan. But I mean, mostly I think what the team's trying to do, they're waiting for next year. They're gonna have over seven. They're projected to have $70 million in cap space next year.
Yeah, and I mean. Obviously, with the loss of DeAndre Jordan, you're losing your big centerpiece. Like you're saying, though, the team is primed for a renewal next year. I feel like they have a lot of bench depth players that are probably going to be moved into starting roles this year. And I think you're looking at kind of crossing your fingers next year for a Klay Thompson, for a Kemba Walker. The problem is that you're going to have so many other teams like the Knicks that are going to have money, and it's going to be a much more competitive market next year than it is this year.
Oh, definitely. And it's because of a couple of years ago in that free agent market where Luol Deng signed for that outrageous
Timofey Mozgov. Well, it was the cap increase that they thought was going to go so much higher that didn't. It really screwed up a lot of teams.
Yeah, I do think the team's going to be better than what people are giving us credit for, because half our roster was hurt last year and we still almost made the playoffs. Danilo Gallinari got paid $21 million and he played 20 games last year for us. He averages over 20 points a game. You know, like Tobias Harris, solid score, really solid score. Actually, he's like been rumored in a lot of the Kawhi Leonard trade packages the Clippers are trying to put together. And then, the center position is going to be a huge hole, and I think that's where the team can take a huge step back.
Because and then they lost their focal leader. I mean, and that there's something to be said about having the one guy in your team that's your stud, because he brings in, you know, a lot of the heat when your team's not doing well, and he also takes in a lot of the credit when you are. And I think with the Clippers and losing that, also with the trading of Blake Griffin, they are playing for next year. I don't foresee this team making the playoffs again, but I agree that they have a ton of quality players that might be able to attract some good free agents. But with the West being as loaded as it is right now, you know, the Lakers now with LeBron James.
I'm predicting 10th. They're going to be like a 10 seed, two spots out. They're going to be competitive, but they're not going to get it done, more than likely. But DeAndre took a step back last year. He was not worth the $24 million we were paying him last year.
And the Mavericks obviously overpaid for him. They've been wanting him since he decided to not sign with them a couple years ago.
But I will say this. You got to trust Jerry West.
No, he's
best mind in the history of the sport. And he's in the Clippers front office. I'll argue
that one, but that's okay. I'm going to have to go Pat Riley on that one.
I think he's outdone Pat Riley. He assembled all the Lakers rosters in the 90s and the Golden State Warriors.
He's fantastic. He is.
He is. Arguably. So
He's solid number two. I'm just kidding.
arguably the best. But
no, he's done. I mean,
there's a lot of people that would agree with me on that.
No, absolutely.
And the Golden State Warriors are where they are because of Jerry West.
Absolutely. He's a guy that doesn't get enough credit for what he does. And thinking about where Golden State is now because of him, I mean, the Golden State Warriors were relevant in the early 2000s. I mean, they were relevant in the 80s. You know.
He flipped that team around. Absolutely. He set up all those Laker teams in the 90s.
Yep.
And, you know, focal point, arguably one of the best executives in basketball minds in the history of the sport.
Absolutely. So. And he's the reason that they have quality players on that team. It's not just about, you know, going after the big name guy. It's about the analytics, looking at what players do on a nightly basis for their basketball teams, going after defenders, going after people with higher shooting percentages. It might not be the big sexy pickup, but it's players that are going to keep you relevant. And again, I think that's a reason that next year the Clippers are sitting in a very nice place. I think the loss of DeAndre Jordan is actually better for that organization long term, because it allows them the flexibility to go after players next year and put together a younger core. But again, I just think that with looking where the Clippers used to be with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin,
oh, they're
JJ
not that
Redick,
level anymore. But...
Well, I mean, the fact that they weren't able to get to a conference finals is just the biggest letdown of that organization, and it's going to take some time for them to get back to that point again.
The turning point was that blowing that 3-1 lead with a 20-point lead on the Rockets in the Western Conference semis. That was pretty much the turning point, in my opinion. And then number of injuries. But let's transition over to NHL free agency. Or should we talk about Paul George?
I was going to bring up Boogie.
Boogie Cousins.
Boogie Cousins. That's the big one. I kind of figured we'd be spending a lot of time on NBA today. So
yeah, I mean, there was so much that happened. It's kind of like, how are you going to come? It's like, what are those points?
And it's not even done yet. That's the crazy part. Yeah. We're still waiting. The Kawhi. Mm-hmm. I'm on Kawhi watch right now.
It's definitely, all Kawhi watch.
The Boogie Cousins deal, man. And initially, I was really irritated. I mean, I'm a basketball fan. Basketball's fun to watch. College basketball, professional basketball. Fast-paced sport where it really starts to get intense, you know, down to the wire. And I think, you know, initially I was really upset. You know, I feel like these players nowadays have no self-respect. They don't want to be the best player. They just want to go to the best team and win a title. And
well, I think that also is driven by the fact that people only see your legacy as how many titles you have. You know,
now that's going to be irrelevant.
And I was hearing stuff now how like...
it's a participation award. You participated by joining the Golden State Warriors. You got a championship and you have that on your belt now.
Yeah, Draymond Green, Kawhi... Or sorry, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry have as many rings as LeBron James has. And how much credit can you give that by going out and get... I have all the respect in the world for them. They...
Those three earned it.
They did.
The rest, I look at KD, I'm like, you just tagged along.
And the executive has earned it as well because they drafted these players and they developed them, and they earned the right to go after a superstar.
Yeah.
And, you know, by signing, you know, Steph Curry was hurt a lot.
You don't fault the organization, you fault the players.
Exactly. And so I look at a player like Kevin Durant, who is a top two player in the world, going to a team with a player that's won two MVPs and a title. I mean, you're not looking at the rings anymore. And I think that's a huge reason LeBron goes to the Lakers.
Exactly. I was listening to a radio talk show today, and they were saying like how upset they were that LeBron is going to the Lakers because he doesn't care about titles anymore. He's just going to pad his numbers and pad his stats and all this stuff. And
I don't think that's true at all.
I don't think that's true at all. But I was just like, what? Just because of the fact that he goes to a team and he's not like holding that press conference of like, we're not winning one, not two, not three. Yeah. You know, just because he's not holding a press conference like that, that means that he's not going after championships. He's still a competitor.
He's still a
winner. He's going to go for those titles regardless. But just the fact that it's like people are thinking that, oh, people don't care about titles anymore. They're just going to go pad their stats.
And I have more respect for him because he didn't go to a team with three other superstars or two other superstars or potential superstars. He went to a team that's still developing their identity. And you look at the signing of DeMarcus Cousins, and I understand that teams didn't want to sign him. It was a small market. People weren't wanting to pay for the injury. But as a player, where is your self-respect? Now you're going to go take a back seat to, you know, four other all-stars. You're putting five of the players that played on the U.S. Olympic team on one team.
Five all-stars on one starting roster. I mean,
it's
not much to say there. No. I mean, he did get offers, though. The New Orleans Pelicans...
They
apparently offered him $10 million for 1 year, but he wanted the mid-level exception, which I can't fault him. I look back at I lost a little bit more respect for KD than I did DeMarcus Cousins. That was the one that really bugged me because KD's arguably a top two player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And for him to join a team that won 73 games the year before?
It was a record for most wins.
It was 73-9, I think it was what they finished. And for you to tag along for a team that they almost beat them in the Western Conference Finals, for him to tag along, that just kind of like, that just, to me, that soured me more. But also my team was a little bit more competitive at the time. And I think if this one hurts you guys a little bit more, because I know the Lakers were, you know, in consideration to go a little bit further in the playoffs. But, DeMarcus Cousins, obviously he's going to miss the first half of the year at least, you know, with that Achilles injury.
I mean, they're talking about having him come back in December or January.
He's supposedly coming along quickly, but
it's a severe injury. But Achilles rupture.
But you look at Elton Brand, who had a similar injury. He had the similar injury, and he never came back the same way. He went from averaging 20-10 to like a 10-10 guy. So, I mean, obviously he's still going to be he still has the talent, but I mean,
it's just going to change. He's going to lose the dynamic of the legacy that we look at in basketball. And if anything,
it's a one-year rental. It's a one-year deal, and I can't fault
the guys. It's an unnecessary one-year rental, though.
I mean,
no, totally. And it's a luxury for the Warriors.
And maybe we sound like bitter fans, but I'm tired of watching the same team in the championship. And I have the utmost respect for what the Warriors did. And like I said, it's nothing against the organization. They've put themselves in a prime position to be able to go after these players. It's the players like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson wanting to take a pay cut to be there, and Draymond Green to go take a pay cut. No pay cut to be there. Nobody wants to be the best player in the NBA anymore. They're all okay with taking a back seat to all these other superstars.
It's fun winning, though. You can't fault the core. I do fault KD for bailing on a team that was just shy of making the finals and beating the Warriors and tagging along. And Boogie Cousins coming out. This is pretty much an audition year for him.
It really is.
So he wants a big contract next year, and he's also assuming some risk because if he doesn't come back 100% and he looks like crap.
Yeah, that's his deal.
But it's a win-win for the Warriors. If he plays well, he's making $5 million a year and you got an all-star. If he's not playing well, he only paid him $5 million.
But like we said, we don't fault the franchise for signing him. I mean,
if anything, I praise the franchise because it's like you had that ability to go sign him. Like your pitch was that good. You can't fault a salesman.
Well, you did so well setting your team up to succeed that happened.
Yeah, make yourself such an attractive team that you won't get winners. I don't think that's.
But I think you even see it as the players react to him signing. Is that I think a lot of them are trying to keep it cool, but I think it really ticks off a lot of people as well, because again, you see a player like LeBron James, you know, and people say, oh, well, LeBron James went to the Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. The big threes have been going on ever since Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce all got together with the Celtics. I mean, it's a known fact that you need to have three big players on your team. And the Warriors took it a step above, added that fourth all-star. And it just seems like the competitive nature to be the best player you can be is gone. And now we're going to look at players' legacies, and you're going to talk about a Kevin Durant, and you're going to say, oh, well, he's won 5, 6, or 7 titles, whatever they go and do now.
You know who I have respect for is Dirk. Dirk did it and he was the superstar, you know?
Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, that title that he won with the Mavericks now is far superior to most titles that we've seen in the last decade. Yeah. Because you see a player that stuck with his team.
Took pay cuts. Right now, he actually took a pay cut so they could get DeAndre.
Yeah. And I have the utmost respect for that. And even players like Kobe Bryant who stuck with their team. I'm not saying that it's not okay for people. It's free agency. It's the lovely part of the market is that you have the option to go. And I've always said this about sports. You know, people complain about these athletes making as much money as they do. And, you know, you get drafted by a team, they own you for 4+ years. And they have the option to do whatever they want with you. So to go off and to do your own thing in free agency, that's fine. But like you're saying, eventually the competitive nature to stop joining these super teams has got to come back because...
Well, it's almost like the commissioner needs to step in.
Yes.
But what are you going to do? You're going to tell these teams, no, you can't sign the superstars. It just needs to be structured differently, but I don't have a resolution. I don't have I don't know how they could fix it. And how do we fix it? I mean, that's the big question. Well, they need to glorify the idea of somebody like a Dirk or something where
they try to do that right now. I mean, the Supermax deal for staying on your team for 3 consecutive years.
Well, no, I get that.
But the players don't care because they get the endorsements and they get, you know, LeBron signing in LA, he's going to get more endorsements there than he ever did in Cleveland.
Well, what I think maybe maybe a hard cap, because right now the cap is so soft. You look at the Warriors, they're like $40 million over the payroll. The Thunder's like $50 million over the payroll. And they're paying $300 million right now just to have that roster on there. And they're
paying
half
great.
And they're paying that half of that in luxury tax, you know?
Yeah, it's very soft. I totally
agree. And so maybe that's the resolution. I don't know. But what are you going to do? You're going to start shrinking everyone's paychecks that's in the league? I mean,
yeah, there's nothing.
And what it is all so the high. Max, the way they have the max set up is all these guys are getting the max money and everybody else is getting league minimum. And there's only a couple guys getting that mid-level exception. So it's totally set up for the rich to get rich and the, you know, the mid-level guys to make nothing, you know, cause they have to, if they want to be on a competitive team, they have to take a huge cut and pay.
It's an interesting time in basketball to say the least.
Yeah.
We're going to transition over into NHL. Dean, you want to go ahead and take it from here?
Yeah, I got this one. Don't worry, I got this.
Our NHL specialist.
So John Tavares was like the LeBron James of the NHL. So he was like the number one overall draft pick. Was with the Islanders for, I think it was 6 years.
Islanders, team of the future, I would say.
So you're calling this guy LeBron James, and I don't pay a lot of attention to hockey, so I'm going to go ahead and throw a couple of names out here that I know.
Sidney Crosby.
All right, hold on. Alexander Ovechkin. When we're on this podcast, we don't talk about Sidney Crosby, okay? Sidney Crosby. Okay. He's a piece of garbage.
I think that was the first bad word any of us has said on this podcast, so we apologize.
All right, we're gonna have to go back and edit and bleep that out.
Anyways,
we're trying to keep this
Alexander
friendly
Ovechkin.
For kids.
I guess I'm trying.
This guy's
to
about as good as Alexander Ovechkin.
Okay.
All right. Ovechkin's my favorite player. I don't think really anybody else is better than him. This guy's just as good. But so San Jose went after this guy, offered him 7 years, $92 million. This guy decided to say no, thank you. He's going home. It's going back to Toronto, his hometown. 7 years, $77 million.
Oh, I think I saw that.
$11 million each. Yeah, he's going to go play with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. We were talking about Austin Matthews, that guy that got drafted like super young or like scouted.
I saw the picture of it, and like how many times are you able to live your childhood dream? And it's like a picture of him sleeping on the Toronto pillow, and there's like a little awesome. Star Wars figure in the background.
Yep.
So most respect to people that go ahead and, you know, try to bring a championship back to their hometown. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's what we would have done if we played baseball professionally. We went back and played for the crappy Padres and win a title.
Yep. But, you know, it's Toronto's definitely going to be like the favorite to win this year, because you have a superstar like Austin Matthews on your team already, and then you add Tavares on top of it. They're just going to be, they're going to be pretty
much saying to the Washington Capitals, we're coming for you.
Yeah, basically.
And so he just got drafted, or he's a free agent?
No, he's a free agent. Yeah, he was the number one overall draft pick, I think, in like 2011 or something like that, 2012. But so that was good. And then Mike Canucks signed a couple of old school guys, or not old school guys, but a couple older guys. Jay Beagle, who won the title with the Champs, with the Caps, and then Roussel is another big center that they signed. That's just
how
your
Canucks looking for the.
They're looking real good. They're not going to be up there, but they're going to be a lot better than last year. They're kind of like...
He sounds like a true San Diego sports
They're kind of like the Padres, you know, where it's like, I know they're going to suck, but at the same time, I'm really optimistic about how good they're going to do. I was watching a little bit of their summer league stuff, and they were doing real good.
They have a summer league for hockey, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, like we don't pay enough attention to hockey. Maybe that should be our homework.
It's like their spring training.
We're due. I know he's beefed up on his basketball, I've noticed.
I have. Just for you guys. Because I'm not a big
guy. I noticed the first few episodes, he totally deferred to us on everything.
Yeah, I'm not a big basketball guy. For you guys, I've definitely
but
been.
But it also changed because he got LeBron James.
I was
going to
say, he's got
too.
LeBron James.
Yeah, it was a little bit more exciting.
The guy's been hating on LeBron James ever since he came into the league. You know,
it was a win-win for me.
Huge LeBron fan, and I always had to listen to Dean, you know, complaining about it, along with all these other Laker fans in San Diego about how much LeBron James sucks. Well, how much does he suck now?
My favorite is that little meme where it has the two like knights or whatever, and they're like they normally are fighting each other, and it says when Laker fans and LeBron fans have to get together.
Absolutely.
And they're all shaking hands, you know. And so back to NHL, is any other big name free agents still out there that you want to see, you know, maybe go to the Canucks? Or
well, that's the beauty of hockey, right, is that like usually you don't have a lot of big name guys that try to leave teams. Like
So it's not like
they're pretty loyal. It's like the exact opposite of NBA.
Like everyone's extremely loyal. The only reason why like
it's kind of football is too.
Yeah,
actually.
Really the only reason guys leave is because, you know, they have like a childhood dream they want to live out. Their friends are there like on another team. You know, or if it's just a smart business move where they can get a good draft pick or a good, you know, position player that are going to put that team over the top. It's really the only time you really see players get moved. It's not really a selfish choice.
Speaking of the NFL, we will be talking about that eventually.
Eventually,
this isn't a show that's going to be neglecting that. It's just
we're going to neglect the tight end hole that the Chargers have. Yeah. Now that
wait, you want to fill what hole?
They want to fill their tight end hole.
We'll get into that eventually. We got a few weeks until training camp starts up.
Anyways,
again.
That was your NHL break with.
That's wrapping it up. All right, now we're going to segue into baseball. So
yeah, you guys texted me and you were like, oh, Ryan Weathers signed with the Padres.
I was concerned. I really was.
They usually take a while to sign. The Padres usually do.
I did my homework on this guy. And, you know, he had a full ride to Vanderbilt. And I know a lot of people don't pay too much attention to college baseball. But Vanderbilt was very, very, very good school for baseball. He's a young guy, 18 years old, obviously, coming out of high school. Another Gatorade Player of the Year. So that's 2 years in a row Padres have gone after pitchers that are, you know, the best high school player in the nation. And I was a little concerned. It seemed like he was pretty excited to be going to Vanderbilt. But I will give it to the Padres that, you know, not like they used to with their money.
No more arbitration clauses.
Yeah, the biggest reason that we ended up with Matt Bush instead of Justin Verlander is because they didn't want to pay Justin Verlander all that money. You don't see that too much anymore.
Yeah, we could have had Kate Upton walking around in PB.
Dude, right? I've
been there every day.
Oh, man. Maybe you'd have more Padre fans that would join along with
us. Yeah. Right? But no, Ryan Weathers is a huge signing. It's another big lefty. The dude had a .08 ERA.
Him and Gore, man.
That's unbelievable.
If some of our viewers don't really pay attention to baseball statistics very much, I mean, the dude gave up less than 0.1 runs per inning that he pitched.
Yeah, so basically...
you mean per game?
Per nine innings.
Yeah. So basically it was like...
He let off like one run in like 50 innings.
He gave up one run the entire year. Yeah. Mackenzie Gore was compared to Clayton Kershaw coming out of high school, and this kid's right up there with him. They don't throw... 99 miles an hour, low 90s to mid 90s, but it's just the control that these pitchers have that kind of gives the Padres that, I'm really looking forward to what the future holds for us because, damn it, our pitching is just not there. And
I feel like are what are really letting us down.
Lately, as of late,
Tatis is tearing the cover off the ball right now. I mean, I was looking, he almost has 20 home runs already.
Yeah.
And he got off to a slump to start the year, and he's almost hitting 300.
Tatis is going to be a stud.
Right now he's ranked number 3 in all baseball for prospects, and they're saying maybe by the end of the year he'll be number 1 overall. So, he's probably not going to come up at all this year. It's pretty unlikely from what I've read.
Oh, there's a good chance he's going to be in the MLB next year, though.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
But you're Luis Urias. That's who I'm. He's going to get a call up later.
Yes,
I look at second base and Padres second base.
Middle infield. Galvis has been amazing
defensively.
That dude has an amazing glove.
He's hitting like 190.
He's got the fundamentals down good. I feel like if you need him to lay down a bunt, he can get it done.
But the middle infield. The big prospect that we had was Khalil Green, and
it's been years.
What you want. The dude didn't pan out, in my opinion, from what he was supposed to be to what he turned out for us.
I read like an article a couple months back on him, and apparently he's MIA. Nobody knows where he's at.
I read that same article.
He moved to like Florida.
He moved back to his hometown, but he lives off the reservation.
Yeah, but that's where he's originally from. Yeah.
Nobody's talked to him.
But he's got anxiety problems. Yep. Yeah. And... that's why I think the physical toll of baseball, the stress,
mental,
the mental aspect, you got to have it. And he snapped. I remember he busted his hand.
Yeah, right.
He was so pissed he struck out. Which
we traded him to the Cardinals. Yeah, that was that game. He punched that locker and never came back.
He punched the locker, busted his hand, and I don't feel like we saw him ever again.
He never came back.
No.
He just never made it back up.
And, we haven't had any prominent.
Everett Cabrera was pretty good. He was an all-star for us. But he also...
He's an idiot.
He also got tied to some, you know...
Yeah, but I definitely think that
if you're
going
to take
talent,
steroids, you better be hitting 30 to 40 home runs a year. That's all I'm going to say.
But getting some talent up the middle, I think it'll definitely be beneficial. So yeah, seeing Urias come fill that hole.
Urias, I'm really excited to see what he can do.
I think that'll be good.
Your Yankees, Dean?
Dude, Bronx Bombers back into full effect. They're projected to hit like 270 home runs. Just shatter that record.
It's projected to be a new record. And we talked about that last week. Yeah, and just they're still hot. And I mean, from a pitching standpoint, Severino, 13 wins. He's lights out.
Unbelievable. First pitcher to 13 in the major league.
And it's not like he's going out and pitching against scrubs. I mean, he goes out there and shuts out the Red Sox or one run, I believe. Yep.
And it was funny because, you know, last year we do that. We do our every season, we do our big board for who we think is going to make it to the championship, be it MLB, NFL, NBA kind of thing. And
me and Brandon totally passed on the Yankees.
Yeah,
I remember, watching.
But this year or last year?
Last year.
And I was like,
to our defense, though, they wouldn't have gotten that far if the Twins didn't totally suck ass in that wild card.
We didn't project them even being in the top two in that division.
We didn't?
No.
But still.
No.
But I told you guys that bullpen's going to come back. They got a lot of young talent, and they just need some time, and it's definitely blossomed.
They've surpassed.
It's come back earlier than I think anybody projected.
I definitely didn't see it coming.
A little bit of a hit this week with Torres going down to the DL, but it doesn't look like they're going to miss a beat. I mean, Stan's coming along now, not striking out as much.
Is Gary Sanchez back?
Sanchez is back, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like every time they lose a player, they get a player back.
That team is stacked, and I've seen their minor league system still stacked, too.
And the beauty
not even fair anymore.
The beauty of it is all these guys are homegrown, too. Like a lot of these guys,
it's not what the Yankees used to be.
No, it's not like the.
Well, that's what I like. That's why I can tolerate it. But also, they also have the resources to go sign as many. You know,
there's a history there.
Yeah, there's a history there of them doing that. But you know, you can't fault, like we said, you can't fault an organization for having the funds and going after it.
With the Giancarlo Stanton trade, it's not like they didn't give up anybody to get him. They gave up some young prospects. They also gave up Starlin Castro, who was their shortstop, second baseman last year. But I think that with their pitching being as good as, I mean, you're looking at CC Sabathia, who's no scrub still. I mean, I know he's getting up there in age, but he's our number five starter.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny, too, with Severino being so good, and they signed his younger brother this week. Yeah. It was like, man, look how good this guy is. It's in the genes. Sign his brother. That guy doesn't even play baseball.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But with the Yankees being as good, they're still sitting in second place to the Red Sox. You know, they've been hot in that division.
Are they now? I thought they overtook.
They are. They
took 2 out of 3,
and that's
what
put them up.
Those are 3 blowout games, but I don't think that was enough. I think they were 2 games back. Now they're Red Sox are game up now.
I thought they were back on top of that.
No, they were a few games back before that series had started. They're 1 full game back from the Red Sox. And the Red Sox, I mean, they've got everything together as well. J.D. Martinez has proven to be the best free agent acquisition in baseball.
And I have to admit, I was wrong on that. I thought maybe he's done well with the Detroit Tigers, and he did well with the Diamondbacks last year. But man, I just thought he was one of those guys who's getting, you know, a flash in the pan. You know, I didn't think
he's proven to be the MVP in the AL this year. Arguably, I mean, obviously you have players up there like Mike Trout. But J.D. Martinez deserves a look. I mean, he's leading the league in home runs, and he's consistent.
Trout's earned more respect than what he gets, even though he is considered the best player in the sport. He is head over heels the best player in the sport.
Absolutely.
That guy's just a gamer.
Yeah, and I mean, he's the best 5-tool player that we've seen in years.
And I feel bad for him because Ohtani went down.
The Angels just aren't a fantastic ball club.
But Ohtani's back. He's just DHing now.
Yeah.
They just called him back up.
Yeah, he's not pitching right now.
But speaking of Mike Trout, I thought that was hilarious. I tried to get on that on Instagram that he hasn't won American League Player of the Week since 2016, and or sorry, 2015, and it's like every week he has you know, he's putting up these numbers. He's carrying
whether
that
it's
team.
On the field with his glove or at the box with his bat, he is the best player in baseball, hands down.
I've already saw this. He already has a higher career WAR than Vlad Guerrero. Let that sink in. Vlad Guerrero played for almost 20 years. Trout's been in the league for what? Whatever, 6 years? Seven? 7 years? Is that it?
I think it's 6 years.
Yes, 6, 7 years. Somewhere in that range. And he's already got as much of
that
a career.
That just shows the value of a player.
Oh, he's got a 10 WAR. That's what he's averaging every year.
That's unbelievable.
And that means,
For our viewers that don't know baseball statistic, wins above replacement.
So you look at the average player is a WAR 0, you know. And then if a guy is an inferior player, he's going to have a negative WAR. And if he's obviously he's a top-notch player, he's going to have a WAR above, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, but J.D. Martinez also leading the league in RBIs with 71. And the Mookie Betts, I mean, it's going to be a hard chase for the Yankees. It's going to come down. I mean, it makes baseball exciting.
It's
going to
come
down to the
down
wire.
To pitching, I think. Because I think I look at both those teams, their bats are phenomenal.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but I think with
the
that,
bullpen, that's definitely when
God,
you
I
them.
Look at them and I compare them to the Padres, and I'm like, God,
oh,
it's
dude,
not
that
close.
Scale is tipping hard.
Yeah, if they played a 10-game series, I think they'd get
or
swept.
If they played
they'd
an
lose
actual,
all 10.
If they played an actual playoff game where there's like baseball analytics involved in that game, there's no way that those Padres are coming close.
No, they wouldn't win a game.
No. But I mean.
But transitioning into what the Yankees have to do to keep this going, you know, we have the, you know, trade deadline coming up at the end of this month. There's some players out there that, you know, there's some buyers and some sellers. For me, the Yankees are going to be huge buyers at the deadline. I don't foresee the Red Sox, you know, unless there's a guy out there like a relief pitcher that they think that they can get in.
They'll both buy. They have to.
No, they're going to be. They're both buying teams. I just think the Yankees feel like that they have more holes to fill than the Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox are the reigning AL East
champs.
Let's
pull it back to the Padres. I heard rumors that the Padres are linked to Michael Fulmer. He won Rookie of the Year for the Detroit Tigers as a pitcher. He's a starter.
Okay.
I want to say 2 years ago. Maybe that's three. But, yeah, apparently the Padres are both buyers and sellers at the deadline right now. They're looking to get young talent and at the same time be able to trade off their old pieces.
We have a very crowded outfield. We have a very crowded.
What is your thoughts on that?
It seems like our bullpen is going to be the biggest seller for us. You know, like it seems like a lot of teams are going to want Tyson Ross, Kirby Yates. You know, Brad Hand. I could see him getting moved. Not really.
Absolutely.
I mean. I could see Branham getting moved, but at the same time, I don't see him as much of a selling point as...
I don't know. I think that there's teams out there like the Brewers who have far surpassed their expectations, the Braves, you know, and maybe not bringing him in as a closer necessarily, but as a setup guy. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of teams calling about Brad Hand. The asking price, I don't know if it'll be there for the Padres. They're going to want a lot for him still because he's not signed to a very lucrative deal as a player. So I think he's going to be a huge piece that teams are going to want to bring in for those bubble players, Houston Astros.
Kirby Yates, man.
I honestly think the Dodgers could be a huge
I think
buyer.
Hand will play huge for – there's only a few lefty closers, and I still would be a little bit more reluctant to accept an offer – with Brad Hand involved, but then Kirby Yates, but
he's been successful for us.
Who?
Kirby Yates.
Yates has got a 0.8 ERA or
yeah,
something like that.
He's been very successful for us. I don't know if the Padres don't want to get rid of him yet. If the offer is there, that's nice.
I would prefer to trade him over Hand. I've just seen more out of Hand than I have.
I think Hand's just going to be a more valuable trade asset.
Because both of them are under control for quite some time.
Yes. I just think with Brad Hand being a two-time All-Star now.
I totally agree. But would you rather a proven closer to keep on your team, or would you rather – do you just want to keep – the thing is, do we want to keep doing this game of trading back all of these players?
I just don't think that the bullpen for them has ever been a problem. And I think that with having the potential with them, as many pitchers they have coming in, they're not worried about – re-signing or going out and getting more relievers if they can get more back. Like if they have a potential to go after, you know, a potential starting pitcher.
Michael Fulmer.
One of these
and
guys,
if you could get him.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at teams like the Braves, you look at teams like the Phillies, who have all gone way farther than anybody has expected. Braves are in first place, Philadelphia one game behind. I mean, they're both ahead of the Nationals.
Yeah.
So then you look at a team like the Nationals, whose biggest flaw has been their pitching as well.
And they could be definitely
their relief pitching.
Relief pitching.
They have one of the best starting rotations in baseball.
Relief
so
pitching.
I think that if the deal's there for both those players, I mean, we're not sitting in a position.
We're sitting in a good spot. Relief pitching's never been more valuable than right now.
Just because it's so close in every division, you're not looking at...
Everything's specialized now.
And I feel like, yeah, our relief guys, they're not really relief guys. It's more like setup closer that we have. And those guys,
and even the Seattle Mariners, don't sleep on them. I mean, they're only two games back of Houston. They've played amazing this year.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of teams out there looking.
His name, Edwin Diaz, he's leading baseball in saves right now.
Yeah.
He's been lights out.
And so I think, you know, Brad Hand and Kirby Gates, I mean, both of them are going to be, the phone's going to be ringing.
Yeah.
Baltimore Orioles, and you have Manny Machado. I mean, there's going to be some teams that are going to be calling about him as well.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Brandon, who's your pick for a team that's looking to sign or to trade for Machado?
To trade Machado? Ooh. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the Diamondbacks pulled it off. They've shown that track record of paying heavy for a rental player, which they did with J.D. Martinez. So, I mean, and they've shown huge interest in him, which from if I'm the Diamondbacks general manager, I'm not making that trade. But, you know, who am I to tell them to not go all in on something? So,
well, and I mean, the NL is wide open for teams this year. I mean, you're looking at the Cubs, not even in first place in their division. The Diamondbacks are only a half a game up on the Dodgers. If you feel like renting a player is going to bring you back a championship, then by all means, go for it. I just don't foresee him signing with them long term. So, like you're saying, it's paying heavy for a rental.
Yeah, I don't agree with that move, but I know that they're heavily interested and they've done it in the past. So I wouldn't put it past them. They would probably be my pick. You know who they're marching out at third base right now over there.
Jake Lamb.
Jake Lamb.
Yeah.
Jake Lamb's no bum either.
No, he's not.
But he's playing shortstop now.
I mean, the dude's still hitting well over 300.
Well, and you know they're beating themselves up for trading Didi Gregorius to the Yankees for pretty much peanuts at the time.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting end to the trade deadline. Brandon said the relievers is going to be a huge aspect of the trade deadline. If the Orioles don't move Machado, that's a huge loss for their team because he's going to walk in free agency. He's going to take the best offer. I think they're sitting in a position where they need young assets. And if you can go out and get three or four guys for Manny Machado, do it. Because a team will pay for him.
They're depleted too. They're not in a good spot. And they need to sell now. But
I'm surprised he's still on their team.
I am 100% with you on that because I look at that team. They have like no top 100 prospects right now. So they have no highly ranked prospects and their major league team is awful. So they're set up for
years of failure.
Years of failure. Yeah. So, you know, at least we look at the Padres who are awful right now, but
young
talent.
We have talent
in the minor leagues and we have talent in the majors. They're just young and,
yeah,
you know, they're making,
not proven yet.
making stupid mistakes and learning, you know.
But it gives you something to look forward to. And, I mean, I know we've been saying that for years with the Padres, but some of these guys are getting ready to come up. And
I'm truly a believer now, though. I believe with this ownership group, they've already shown that they're willing to go all the way. And, you know, obviously they flipped the script. It didn't work. And so they invested heavily in their minor league system, and now they're going to do it the right way, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be, I mean, a couple years for the Padres, but they'll be all right. But I agree. A team like the Orioles, I mean,
You're not
even gonna get enough back for Manny Machado from what you've lost over the years. And
yeah,
well, you got Chris Davis under a fat contract. Nobody will.
I would even be looking at moving a player like our local Adam Jones, guy from Morris High School.
But I don't know what they'd get for him. I don't think he's under that great of a contract.
No,
they
might have to eat some cash. That's one of the luxuries about baseball, but. I mean, at this point, I would be selling off everything because you're in a division with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and you're sitting there looking up for years to come. You know you're not going to keep Manny Machado after this year. any good pitching that you've had, you've traded off or not re-signed.
Yeah, that Orioles organization, they have...
It's been very poorly run.
Very poorly run, and even now in their front office, they kind of have no one driving.
They had a good
shit.
Run, though, but...
They did. Yeah. Again...
They had all those big boppers for a little bit.
And, I mean, what can you call a good run that doesn't get you a championship, though? And that's the way that... I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's the way that it's looked at nowadays. And a good run, you know, you look at the Dodgers, they've had several good runs the last few years, and they're still not able to bring it home, and that's been an expectation there. The Orioles, obviously, the bar's not set as high, but they were a very talented team there for a long time. Buck Showalter, you know, at the helm. There's not a lot of excuses, and I think for them to be in a position that they are now is sad, especially when we're talking about the Yankees and how deep they are, not just in their major league team, but in their minor league organization. There's really no excuse for it. If your team's playing this bad right now, then you need to have something to look forward to. So it just goes down to, you know, poor drafting, poor recruiting, not having enough players on that, you know, top 100 prospect list. Nothing
to look
forward to.
You can even go before that, like yeah. further back than that too. But
yeah, and I mean the Chris Davis signing. I mean,
oh, that's gonna kill the. Yeah. I don't know how many more years they have on that, but
no, I mean
he's awful. He's hitting like 150 or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's well under 200.
Speaking of WAR, he's supposed to have the lowest WAR in baseball history.
Yeah.
And is it, or are you just making that up?
No, I'm serious. He's supposed to have the lowest WAR by a solid, like, 2 points.
I mean, like, the dude hit a lot of home runs for
a couple years.
In
a season, though, not career WAR.
No, in a season.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's just – he's not good. No. He strikes out all the time. I mean, God, the dude, like you said, he's hitting under 150. I mean, enough said right there. But it is going to be an interesting – you know, mid-year with baseball, seeing some of these teams are going to be buying and selling. Off to a slow start now, obviously, the All-Star game coming up. But I think after the All-Star game, you're going to be seeing a lot of these moves starting to get made.
I'm for the moves for the Padres right now. I think we got to make some moves, change some pieces out, see how – I mean, obviously, some of the big pieces, maybe not, but
– Yeah, well, to wrap it up, Ryan, you had some fun stats of the week for us.
Oh, best team in baseball since the beginning of June is the Cincinnati Reds. They've been leading the
I would not have guessed.
No,
that.
Leading the yeah, league in runs scored.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
They're tied with the Houston Astros.
You could have given me 10 guesses and I wouldn't have picked them.
They I mean they were sitting last year as the second worst team in baseball. And a lot of it is probably sheer dumb luck right now, but they do have some good bats on their team right now.
They also got off to an ice cold start, and baseball's all about law of averages.
Yeah. No, it is. And
they were on pace to be like the worst team in history
Last year they picked up Hunter Green, second pick in the MLB draft. It's just to show how bad they've been. So for a team to be coming in for a month stretch of being tied for the best team in baseball with the Houston Astros, that's a lot to be said, and it's good for their future. If they can keep that young core intact, that's a competitive division. I mean, like we just talked about, the Cubs are only down a couple games. It's competitive, and it'll be interesting to watch.
I feel like most of the divisions are, except for the American League Comedy Central. that's pretty much the only division. Even that's pretty competitive, even though
it's not in a good way.
The Indians are like 11 games out front of the next suitor.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, still.
Yeah, Minnesota
Twins. Last time I looked at their standings, I think that the Tigers were only a couple games out, and the Tigers are supposed to be rebuilding
now.
This year.
They're 12 games out now, and even with the Kansas City Royals, I mean, they just won a World Series a couple years ago. Now they're 25-61.
Well, they flipped the script.
Oh, yeah,
they're a small market team, just like the Padres. You know, the thing in baseball, you only got that window open for a couple of years, and if you don't get it done,
you don't capitalize.
You gotta wait another decade probably.
And we've been waiting
for Padres
a long time.
2 decades.
Yep.
Well. That's been us, the Three Amigos and a Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, @3amigos_and_pod. You can listen to us SoundCloud and Podomatic. All right, guys.
Awesome. Fantastic. Have a great week, guys.